Lamis Khalilova is half Czech and half Palestinian. She is the youthful head of the Center for Middle Eastern Studies at the Metropolitan University in Prague and is a member of the board of directors of the Czech Republic's branch of Amnesty International. The struggle for human rights is something that she cares about passionately, and she has been taking a particular interest in the complex problems faced by women in many parts of the Middle East. Lamis Khalilova also writes poetry and took part in the poetry festival that was held in the Czech Republic last November. We've featured a few languages in Czech books over the years, including Romani, Slovak, Romanian and Latvian. But when I met Lamis in her office, she began with a poem in a language that we haven't yet featured on Czech books.
أتت أن أحبك أتت أن أحبك بعد أن أنزل الستارة أتت أن أحبك بعد رحيل الكل وإطفاء الإنارة أتت أن أحبك في آخر عرض من مسرح حياتي ولكن بجدارة.
Those are a few lines from one of the poems that you've written in Arabic. Tell us what that poem's about.
It was a love poem, actually. The lines said, I've become used to loving you. I've become used to loving you after everyone has left and after the show is over. I have become used to loving you during the autumn of my life, but in an excellent way, basically. It was a reaction to a film I had seen.
And you write poetry in Arabic and in English, don't you? Do you have a preferred language for writing?
It should be English, I'm afraid. I studied in English and I had my creative writing classes in English.
So let's hear another poem of yours in English.
This poem is about the Middle East, about the situation in the Middle East, and it's fairly political. Come, appear, and rise again. Be the long-awaited saviour. Rescue us from their disdain. The sound of children crying has been mixed with the adhan, and the bells of churches overlapped by CNN. They have even bombed our shelters, the holiest of our places. When our home is invaded and only the dead are safe, God's face has been tainted, and the beautiful eyes of a woman bloodshot and afraid. The blows are so many, I tell you, our bodies are numb and feel no pain. I think human life, the value of human life is universal. It's the same no matter where we were born. I was lucky. I was born in Europe. I'm a European. And I constantly ask myself the question, had I been born in Gaza or the West Bank, would it be any different?
You were born in what was then communist Czechoslovakia, and you grew up in the United Arab Emirates, and now you're back again in the Czech Republic. Where you are at home must be very complicated for you, I should imagine.
I must say I did have an identity crisis at a time in my life, but I love it here. The Czech Republic has become my home. It wasn't that easy, I must say. Moving from the United Arab Emirates, it was quite challenging at first. But you make friends, you have a home, and you have a nationality. I must say that legality, staying here, living here in a legal way, living here in a way that you don't need to go to the police every year and renew your papers, definitely helps. So yes, I am a Czech citizen, and I'm very proud and happy about that. But I'm also Arab-Palestinian. That was also challenging at first.
And the way you confront this challenge is part of that also in the writing of poetry.
Yes, it is a form of therapy, I must say. And I have to say that this poem was written during a very, very deep depression. And I haven't written since, which probably means that I'm doing quite well now.
Tell me a little bit more about your childhood and upbringing, because it is very unusual.
I was born here in the Czech Republic. My parents didn't want to raise their child in communism, and since my father was a foreigner, they were allowed to travel out of the country, and not be considered to be immigrants by traveling, which basically means they were allowed to come every summer, come back and see their family and everything. So they decided to move to the United Arab Emirates. I grew up there. I went to an international school, to which I am extremely grateful. My classmates were the sons and daughters of drivers, but also the sons and daughters of the royal family.
And coming back again to the Czech Republic, that presumably was after the fall of communism.
Yes, I'm not that old, no.
And you decided to study here rather than in the many different possible countries that you could have studied in.
Well, I realized I was Czech, but I was Czech during the holidays. I was Czech in the Emirates whenever anyone would ask me, but I'd only spend something around 30 days every year here with my grandfather. My grandfather was alive at the time, and I thought it was probably a good idea to come back here and live with him and get to know my country finally.
And did you find Czechs welcoming to you when you first came, or did it take a little bit of adapting?
I had to adapt, I must say, but at the time things were very different from what they are like today.
When was this?
This was in the end of the 90s. So things were different. It was hard to get someone to speak English, and my Czech wasn't very good, so I was cautious. I wouldn't always want to speak in Czech. I wasn't comfortable with that. And yes, it did take some adapting.
And what about your studies here?
I started studying medicine, and I didn't finish that course, I'm afraid. I thought there was no point to continue studying something I wasn't going to do. I wasn't going to practice medicine. I started working with Amnesty International as a volunteer, and that kind of broadened my perspective towards lots of other fields and interests. And then I moved to a completely different field, and today I work at the Metropolitan University in Prague. And I head the Center for Middle Eastern Studies, and I also am a board member at Amnesty.
We hear a lot these days about a clash of cultures between the Western world and the Arab world. You, in a way, embody the meeting of those two worlds, and to talk, in your case, about a cultural clash would be really an inner conflict within yourself. Do you feel that?
I'm not schizophrenic, if that's your question. Definitely not a clash inside of me. It's very natural. It comes as natural for me to eat knedlíky at home.
Those are Czech dumplings.
Czech dumplings with Arabic sauce. So, no, I don't believe in a clash of civilizations. I do believe in the uneducated. I believe in people who have not been shown the other side of the story. There are villages in the Czech Republic, in Poland, but also in Syria and Egypt that have never met someone from a different culture, a different race, a different religion. And that is the problem, I think.
Do you feel as well, living in Prague, which is a city which also has a long Jewish history, which ended with the tragedy of the Holocaust, do you feel that living here has given you a greater insight maybe into the psychology of the people of Israel?
I'm very pragmatic. I don't think the existence of Israel means that Israel occupies Palestine proper. I understand the occupation of the West Bank and Gaza as an occupation that needs to stop, and I believe in the necessity of establishing a Palestinian state. Living in Prague has indeed changed my perspective in many things, and I'm very sad to say I had not ever learned of the Holocaust until I moved here. We were just not taught about the Holocaust in school in our history class. But, you know, I've met Israeli students here in Prague. I've met Israeli students on exchange courses and workshops, and it's not very different there. And they're so close geographically to where the problems are. There is just about half an hour drive. But they don't know any Palestinians. They haven't met any Palestinians either. And I think that is the secret of the whole thing. If they meet more, if they discuss more, if they see that they're both human, they both have their fears, their happiness, and their aspirations, things become much easier. That said, when the extreme right-wing demonstrations happened here in Prague in November, I think, I went to the Jewish quarter and I defended the Jewish quarter, and I don't see that as a conflict of interest as a Palestinian, because yes, I'm a Czech, I'm a Palestinian, and Judaism is a religion after all, so it's also a culture, and I don't understand. I think it would be very nearsighted to be apathetic to such racial discrimination and incitement on religious and ethnic hatred. It could turn around and face you, and you know, look you in the face very soon.
Let's hear another poem.
Love behind enemy lines. When our countries are at war, and I wish you weren't behind enemy lines, when doing the right thing is sticking to your kind, when love means betrayal in people's eyes, when our holy books are the fuel they burn us with, when people get gunned down for their accents, your favorite food stops being cooked, it can give you away. That is when, my love, I wish I was from Zimbabwe and you were from my tribe. I wish we were blind, deaf and dumb. You would be my only one. Tell me, please, what have they gained? They've killed each other, gone insane. They're tarnished with a neighbor's blood. The world is upside down. I can't see the light. We said this would never happen. We also said we'd change it. We're older, but we were wiser then. Now we're hiding, each in his den. When I'm not an apple and you're not an orange, when it's not a challenge, but only the norm, when our fights are silly and not existential, I want to be a Gandhi. Will you be a Tagore?
In that poem there's a line, we're older, but we were wiser then. It's actually rather pessimistic. Are you by nature a pessimist? You sound, generally, from talking to you, to be by nature optimistic.
I am. I am optimistic. But I think for some reason when I start writing a poem, I become more serious than I should be, perhaps. I'm not sure about that. But I am an optimist. I believe in a better future. I believe that we can change things, and that is basically why I do what I do. I am for dialogue. I am an advocate of human rights. I know that the more dialogue we have, the easier it will be to attain change. So I'm definitely not a pessimist, no.
And you say that you only really write poetry when you're feeling unhappy. So I suppose I should end by saying that I hope that we won't have the opportunity to read more of your poetry, but I do think that would be a shame.
I'll try and be more optimistic in my poetry. How about that?
Lamis Khalilova, thank you very much indeed for talking to us at Radio Prague.
Thank you.